This show is not a financial advice. Bitcoin and shitcoins involve risk. Consult with a professional before investing. And now we're live! Welcome to the Bitcoin Rehab Show. Everybody can now unmute, basically.
Hey.
Hey, everyone. Let me just mute my phone, because there's going to be an echo in here. So yeah. This is... I need to close the doors, because I left it open accidentally. Oops, sorry about it. Probably heard some of your noises. All right, so we are here. The problem is that I haven't come up with any topic to talk about, but I think we can start by having everybody introduce themselves, because I'm pretty sure some people here did talk on a podcast, some didn't. I think majority of people here actually did. So yeah, I think we should do that. Let's start with people somewhere. Someone start.
Yo, what's up? This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth. Just a Bitcoin pleb out here doing the business.
Yeah, my name is BT Chap. I'm around since a while. I have been on the Rehab podcast with Caro quite a lot of times already, so enjoying always being joining this kind of happenings.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I'm Coin Icarus. I'm the host of the Fun with Bitcoin podcast and fellow Bitcoin plebe, and just super happy to be here.
Yeah, fellow plebe, good.
What's up, guys? My name is Nico, or how you guys know me on Twitter, aka BitVault7. I'm the host of the Simply Bitcoin Show, and I do it with my buddy, Coin Icarus, who just introduced himself.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jackie, Bitcoin Zoomer. Very happy to be here. Thanks, Caro. I'm on Twitter. I'm Jackie.
Yeah. I'm Hotlunot, good friend of Caro. And me and Vitu and Katya are running Citadel 21, and we just started sponsoring this podcast, which we are really happy with.
Thanks very much for sponsoring the show, by the way.
Yeah, we're happy to, man.
I think we can start with this. Maybe Katya can actually introduce herself also.
Yeah, hi guys. Happy to be here and follow up on the BlebSec Congress. And I think Hodlonot pretty much introduced me.
Okay, I think we could start with you two. Tell the viewers a bit about Citadel 21.
Well, Citadel 21 is a Bitcoin cultural zine. So we actually decided to start a project which would tell people more about Bitcoin, like with from all sorts of backgrounds and teach them about the Bitcoin and show them that there is a lot more things behind than just like being it an asset or like the future of money, how we know them today. actually just wanted to show that there is like a great culture, great people, and a lot more topics that people can actually learn that can change their life, basically. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a zine, but we think it's like pretty holistic project that can potentially change someone's life for better. That's, I guess, how we see it.
Yeah, like in the Bitcoin scene, there haven't been any cultural magazines other than artists operating in the scene. So this is completely a brand new take on the whole thing. It's quite interesting. And it was like totally surprising that this thing kind of just appeared out of nowhere, basically, for me. And like, it just popped up on my radar.
Yeah. I think what's cool about it is that we basically show Bitcoin from so many sides that it's hard to see those sides probably when you're like in a Twitter or maybe like if you're quite away from Twitter, but you see some news somewhere. So it's hard to see like the complexity of this thing, but like through the content that people contribute, we can see like how big it is and how different Bitcoin is for different people. Like, for example, like in Venezuela, in some other post-Soviet countries, in Europe, in America, like everyone basically can find something like specific in Bitcoin, like the problem which it solves for these people. And this is like only one side. Then we have art, then we have I don't know, some cool math, like for example, like what is cooler to have, like the land or like staking sets and like basically growing your Bitcoin stack. So I think it's really helpful just to see this thing from different perspectives and to understand that this is like really bigger than just an asset, like how it is for many, many people and especially those who are newcomers to this space.
Yeah, I agree. And importantly, Citadel 21 doesn't really have an editorial policy. Anyone can write to us and we will look at it. And if we think it's cool, we will publish it. Even if you have 3 followers on Twitter or 3,000, doesn't matter to us at all. The only thing that matters is the signal. So we are happy to see that a lot of plebs have already contributed. And those voices, I think it's really important that those voices come out as well and are not just hidden and buried in obscure Twitter threads, because there is a shitload of cool thoughts and perspectives coming out from all the plebs.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. What do you guys think about, not you two, but other participants in the room? What do you guys think about Citadel 21?
I mean, I'll jump in. First off, Citadel 21 is a sponsor. So shout out to HodlNot and Bitcoin Kadia for sponsoring Bitcoin Kindergarten. And I personally love it, man. It's so cool to see all our friends' voices be heard and their stories, and everyone writes freaking amazing pieces, and the art in there is just so cool. I can't wait to get my physical one and look through it. And just, you know, I'm a fangirl for Citadel 21, and now I'm part of the family. So like, I'm more than happy to be over here and talking with you guys and shilling Citadel 21. And I think everyone should try to write a piece. I've been wrapping my head around getting a piece out there, but I'm kind of slow on it. So I think I just got an idea. So maybe soon I'll get something up there. But yeah, shout out to Citadel 21.
Yeah, we should do like a Citadel 21 co-op or something if you're being sponsored. That'd be much more interesting.
Yeah, so I actually did a podcast with the cover artist for Volume 3. His name is Dim Zion, and he had this awesome, it was a comic, I guess you would call it, called Boltardia, and we kind of just went over that, and it was just so interesting, the incredible art in his comic and the deeper meaning in the story was just, it was just, it was emotional, man, that when I was reading it, and it was so cool. So I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah, Boltardia is fucking great. I think he has definitely not gotten the recognition he deserves. I think Boltardia will be like discovered by more people as we go forward, because Dim is definitely going to continue creating it. And I think he even has plans to make some kind of animated thing out of it.
We're just showing the viewers Boltardia in Volume 3 right now.
Yeah, guys, I just gotta say, like, Citadel 21, just the, it's very cool, but I really, really like the artists. Like, it gave a platform for artists to express themselves, and it's super cool. Like, I love it.
Yeah, we love it too. That's some really cool to put, to be able to collaborate with artists, just both for the covers and, like, the articles inside.
Yeah, I would also love to participate and write a few words once for this really a fantastic piece of work and for this nice project that you are setting up. We'll definitely come back to that. Absolutely.
Awesome.
We had a question in the chat, if there were any of the existing volumes left for sale.
Yeah, some. I think we are at exactly 20 left now. I think we have 16 singles and 2 reserved for the 12-month sub and 2 for the 6-month sub. So I think 20 scenes left in total. And for those who doesn't know, we did a print run of 1,000 scenes, and we will definitely not be printing anymore at any time. And they are all individually numbered by hand. So 1,000 scenes is all there is, and now there are 20 left for sale.
I got a question, Harunat, Kadia. Are you guys going to just print every zine, every issue 1,000 times and just keep it limited the whole time?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think we don't really know. We plan to, at least for now, printed for like 1,000 pieces. That's at least what we have in our head. But it seems to me that if there will be a bigger demand, we can actually increase the number. But like what we were thinking, that for us, and I think for many, it's still like a collectible. So we're not going to like make like huge amounts printed. That will not happen. So it still will be limited.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, it's very hard to say. Like, now we did, I think we were pretty bold to print 1,000, just because inside our echo chamber, it seemed like there was a lot of interest, but still we didn't know. I mean, we can be fooled by an echo chamber. So we are super, super happy to have sold out 1,000. But we kind of don't think we will sell as well for Volume 2. Volume 2 is dropping real soon, by the way. And we're going to drop physical volumes maybe like every third week until we have caught up with the digital release. But yeah, we'll try 1,000 for Volume 2 as well. And if it sells decently, we will stick to that number until demand escalates it, I guess. If it ever does.
I got a question for you, Harunat. So I bought the 12th month subscription and the first edition. In the 12th month subscription, does that mean that it covers the first, I think it's the first 5 or the first 6? Or does it start from the latest zine?
Like, if you order 12 month sub, that means you will get volume 1 to 12.
Okay.
So in your case, you will get 2 copies of volume 1. And that was a bit unclear in the product description at the start. We fixed that now. We'll probably make the product descriptions even more impossible to misunderstand, but yeah, it was kind of confusing for many in the beginning. So yeah, hope you're not too salty that you'll get two copies.
No, I like it. I could frame one.
Yeah, that's great.
Can you tell us a bit about how do you plan on issuing volume 4? More specifically with the two graphical pieces in it.
Let's see, volume 4, are you thinking about 21ism?
Yes, and there's another episode of Tardy in it.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like Bultardia, I think we have two Bultardia episodes in volume 3, so we will have to find a way to make that happen in an orderly fashion, I think probably. We will have to talk to 21ism if they want us to actually print it or inside.
I think
our
you
scene.
Should print it, obviously.
Yeah, I think so too, since they contributed, but I mean, if they have something against it, we will definitely listen to that. But I think some of these scenes will be quite a bit thicker than others because of certain content. But yeah, we haven't gotten further than volume 2 is basically finished in design now. So it will be printed shortly. But we haven't started volume 3 or 4 yet. So we'll have to talk with... Yeah, me and Katja will have to talk with the Martin Cypherpunk now, who designs the physical scenes, and see how we're going to do it.
Hotland out, I prepared a surprise for you, just for you. I dumped the price below 10,000. So now is the time to speak the lane and say, we will never see Bitcoin below 10,000 ever again.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we are currently below, so it's kind of hard.
Oh, no, it dropped again. It dropped again.
But obviously,
bump it, everyone buy.
I can already feel I will have some prediction coming soon.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, let's see what happens until the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
We should get everyone on air by every listener. Pump the price.
So we are actually, I totally forgot about this. I apologize for this. We are giving away, actually, Novak this morning messaged me and he said that he wants to sponsor Flapsack. And he said that he will be sponsoring us with two cold cards and two seat plates. So now I'm trying to write the tweet hastily, really hastily. But as the rules go, that those participants who are watching right now, they can get on Twitter and post a reply underneath this tweet and then link back into the chat in the stream. And we will be picking a winner by the end of this podcast. So have any of you been using Cold Card before?
Absolutely.
In here.
Oh, yeah. It's my main, damn, it's my main hardware wallet.
Yeah, same. Main cold desk storage.
I'm blocked by Rodolfo, so I don't know what's happening with that project anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. We can talk about that also.
I like cold card.
That's how you know that this is plebe sec.
I like cold card, but I'm not a fan how Rodolfo kind of squishes the competition, because overall that's not good for Bitcoin. And he's done that with multiple hardware manufacturers. Even though I'm a huge fan of the cold card, I don't think that's capitalistic, and I don't think that's good for Bitcoin.
That was my beef with him, that he was shitting on Slush and Trezor all the time, and I really don't see how that's a good marketing strategy for cold card.
Oh shit, I think we went down the really bad path here.
I keep
cold card is great.
Don't try and make him lose a sponsor.
Just a disclaimer, anything the participants say is not the views of the host of the Bitcoin Rehab podcast. Thank you very much.
I keep my coin on the Coinbase still because I don't believe in those hardware wallets. Just joking.
Oh my god.
Dude, I think you'd get booted real quick.
Yeah, hardware wallets, keep your coins safe on the exchange.
Obviously. Yeah. I think also Cold Card is really one of the best products. Really, I absolutely agree with most of you guys, yeah. Ledger had few epic fuck-ups or problems in the last time. So, yeah, Cold Card it is.
Four in the row, actually. You remember we talked about this last time on the podcast also. Now it's the fourth time that Ledger had a vulnerability in it. But look at that. Cold Card actually fixed all the vulnerabilities in it. So that's like kind of like, you know, looking at it. Even the Ledger fixed it also. But when does the next error, next vulnerability going to pop up in Ledger again? Like, really?
Well, that goes to show that, like, them supporting all those shit coins just opens so many attack vulnerabilities. So, like,
that's true.
I think we could all agree that, like, you know, Cold Card right now is definitely the best Bitcoin wallet because it's specifically only Bitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, Ledger is also a much larger target, I assume, for any bad actors. And they are having the biggest, they attract more hackers than a Cold Card ever would, obviously, because fewer people are using it.
I don't know, dude. I agree with that. But at the same time, like, them adding support for so many coins just like opens up more avenues and more attack vectors. So I do agree with you that, yeah, Ledger perhaps is the more mainstream product, but the fact that they support so many fucking shit coins, right? It opens Pandora's box, essentially.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We have a new attendee. It's BTC Viking. Say hi, everyone.
What's up, man?
So, yeah, for late joiners, introduce yourself to the viewers, please. Is your microphone actually set? I don't think his microphone is set up. Where is it?
He's probably setting it up.
So, yeah, let's give him some time. So what do you guys personally think about Citadels? Are they actually possible as in perspective of the solution for like as a reality? What kind of chance do you guys see for that as in happening? Is there a really high chance that the thing that the time travel actually said going to happen, or what do you guys think?
So, you want to go Cornakers? Go ahead.
I'll just go quick. I was gonna say I think that I think that Citadels are possible, but I don't think that they are going to resemble what we imagine them as today. I know that we picture everything kind of like this closed-in ecosystem, but I'm not 100% sure that that's what's going to happen. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what this evolves into. But I think that as humans, we're terrible predictors of the future. So, you know, we'll have to see how it actually all plays out, because there's a whole bunch of different people all over the world that believe in all the same things. And, you know, obviously they're not all going to end up living in the same citadel. So I think that there's going to be like massive cooperation, and there may be like, who knows, you know, maybe communal type of citadels where all people from different citadels end up meeting and, you know, doing, you know, business or whatever it is. Might be interesting. And it might also be all virtual reality at that point.
Yeah, so I'll try to kind of chime in here because before I went full time crypto in 2016, I was actually I worked in commercial real estate, right? And commercial real estate's basically, it's defined as any, if you're selling any more than five residential properties at a time, right? So
you know, I sold residential properties. I also sold commercial properties, and I manage properties, right? I think that the concept of a citadel is it's like communism. It's beautiful on paper. It sounds amazing, right? But in actual practicality, right, in terms of, you know, establishing a place, buying the land, having it self-sufficient, having that whatever, I think it's way more complicated than people perceive it to be. And I think that we already kind of have forms of citadels right now, which are just, you have good neighborhoods and you have bad neighborhoods. You have really nice buildings, you have, you know, bad buildings, right? So, you know, unless it's like a communal type thing, but then if you look at history, like, you know, historically communes, eventually they all degenerate in a way. So, you know, again, just to kind of add to like what Coinakers was saying, like we have no idea what could happen in the future. But like from my experience, I just think that it's a beautiful idea. But in practicality, man, like I don't know how that's going to be pulled off. You're going to have a genius. Satoshi's going to have to come back and, you know, tell us what's up.
Yeah, I think what the point is, there might be countries where you absolutely need something like that, and there are countries where you don't need something like that at all. For instance, imagine Switzerland. I mean, I could perfectly live on the like anywhere, and I would feel completely safe. But there are other countries where this might be absolutely necessary for the survival of a Bitcoiner to live in a like gated community. I would not call it a citadel. That is something that I see. And also, of course, the citadels would also just be a temporary thing, because the more we progress along to, I find that word funny, but hyper-Bitcoinization, then the less it will be necessary. But of course, at a certain point in time and at a certain places, it will be absolutely necessary for some people to take extreme precautions and to live and ensure their safety with extreme measures somehow.
Yep, but that already, you know, like that already happens, right? Like if you look at Brazil, Venezuela, right?
Yeah,
like in Venezuela, like if you're wealthy, dude, you don't understand the type of security you have in your building. It's like a 12-foot wall with electrified barbed wired fence at the top. Right.
Yeah.
So like that type of like commute, like, you know, separation because you have wealth and there's people that don't have wealth, that already kind of exists. Right. So it's like, I think it would just be a continuation of something already existing.
Yeah, and I think something that I like to point out a lot is if you have a Bitcoin-friendly legislation in any country, then you would be attracting Bitcoiners to this country. The wealth in the country would increase. The Bitcoiners would gain attraction and influence in the country. The laws would keep changing in favor of Bitcoin. And at a certain point, the country itself becomes basically a citadel. So I think that's something we are really heading towards. Obviously, we are not talking about the United States here, because for them, a lot is at stake, because they are currently able to print the world reserve currency. But that is going to change. And we will see that happening, for instance, probably in Malta or in small or like countries like Monaco.
So like what you're suggesting is like a neighborhood in Monaco or Malta that is exclusively Bitcoiners type of thing.
I think this is a gradual thing. Like you attract more and more Bitcoiners. Bitcoiners will become ministers or, I don't know, for a president in a small country. You have a Bitcoin-friendly legislation, and then you will see a gradual shift towards more and more Bitcoin-friendly legislation. And at a certain point, you say, okay, if you are a Bitcoiner, then just move your ass to, I don't know, Malta or Portugal or Liechtenstein or whatnot.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I definitely agree with that for sure.
I mean, I see it all the like very similar to what you guys are all saying. You know, we'll definitely have like private communities that, you know, like or like gated communities where there's, you know, a lot of Bitcoiners there, because like the difference between, you know, like a Bitcoin citadel versus like, you know, a hippie commune is that in the future, Bitcoiners will have the capital. So we won't be running out of money per se. We'll be able to, I guess, have like a closed circuit economy within the citadel, but we're also going to have to trade within other citadels. But like, that's just like my sci-fi, you know, citadel future outlook, where we have those memes of like what a future sci-fi Citadel would look like. But I also kind of have this idea of like, you know, Bitcoiners are decentralized, just like, you know, the network is. And so I feel like we'll have Bitcoiners just kind of being leaders in their local communities and try to change our local communities from the inside out. And so, like, I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence of whether Citadels are a good idea, because we don't want to be shut in and hermits and just like have a Citadel and then everyone else around us be like fucking living in extreme poverty. So like, I see both views where I think we may have Citadels like in a sci-fi, you know, maybe dystopian view, but then I also just see Bitcoiners being as leaders. And so maybe we'll have Bitcoiners infiltrate local governments and then, you know, start rearranging policy. And then over time, you know, as hyper Bitcoinization takes over, we'll just kind of start morphing local laws into more pleb friendly areas. But I don't know, I'm just spitballing.
Okay, can I chime in real quick? I agree that it's possible, completely possible, it's even probably going to happen this way, that plebs take over local governments when hyper-Bitcoinization happens and start making, basically they lobby the government and start making legislation, Bitcoin-friendly legislation. That's basically the distinction of economical citadel, where people move to an offshore paradise so that they can save themselves, their Bitcoin, from taxes from, let's say, their original government. And that offshore paradise is incentivized to offer 0% taxes and on Bitcoin and Bitcoin wealth, because those Bitcoiners will be boosting their economy. So what happens then is that these Bitcoiners basically boost the economy of the country, and they have a really, really big amount of power onto these countries, because if the Bitcoiners go away, the country is going to basically fall.
That's already a thing, Jackie. Monaco and Portugal.
Like, yeah, Portugal, so, but it's going to happen.
But I'm screwed. As an American. I still have to pay capital gains no matter where I go, like unless I give up my American citizenship.
Yeah, and not to forget the exit tax.
Yeah, exactly. And they tax you, you know, like for the luxury of leaving America. You know? Give me my money.
Oh, shit. I should see for Italy. I should check out for Italy because I don't want to pay that.
Yeah, so okay. I guess you could say I'm lucky, but I have three citizenships. Like I have a Spanish citizenship, I have a Venezuelan citizenship, I have an American citizenship, and Spain and Venezuela, you don't pay taxes at all. But in Spain, you're supposed to pay taxes, but if you work there. But if you don't work there, you don't have to pay taxes. America is the only country in the entire planet that no matter where you live, and you're making money off in that country, you still have to pay taxes to the American government. It's crazy.
Crazy. Actually, Shinobi's going to jump in real quick, but they can only tax you for the difference between that country's tax rate and America's if it's lower in that country. They can't tax you if you're paying more.
No, I never claimed the double tax, but I'm saying like...
Unless there's a double taxation treaty, isn't it?
That's pretty crazy, dude. Like, think about that. That's pretty fucking... I mean, sorry. That's pretty insane, bro. Like, it's like...
Yeah, hey, you're their cattle.
It's crazy. It's absurd. I think it's very elitist of America.
They just don't want their cattle going off and doing productive things without getting their cut, dude. They own you. They're entitled to a percent of everything you produce in your life.
You know what? I take back everything that I said about citadels. Let's build a space station.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that. Because remember, we're no hippie commie fucks. We are fucking Bitcoiners with a shit ton of money. So, I mean, if you say communes are going to degrade, I don't think so.
I said historically they tend to do, but history doesn't always represent the future, right?
Yeah, that's true. The only thing bad could happen is that I nuke you, but I mean,
dude,
that's the risk you gotta take.
Jackie, if I see you coming to me with an umbrella, I'm gonna hit you, bro.
On a sunny day.
Exactly. A sunny day, I just see Jackie with an umbrella. Like, Nico! Nico!
Yo, oi, mate! What's up? Oh, God damn
it. He just pokes me and runs away.
Oh, boy.
Have you guys ever heard about Bitfiggies?
They're fucking awesome. They're sick.
Shout out to Fartface2K.
You're talking about
Fartface2K at bitfiggies.com. Go and check it out, guys. It's really cute, those little piggies.
They are. They're awesome. Cool, cool, cool.
Actually, Fartface's daughter is actually running a monthly subscription for a book crate that also contains tea or coffee. It's called as healthteabookcrate.com. It's quite interesting. You can like it actually supports women. It's like women writers, and every month is a different book and a different flavor that goes with the book.
Yeah, shout out to Fartface, man. Met him last weekend at Bitblock Boom, and he's a fucking real cool dude, man.
Yeah. He is.
He's a funny guy, that's for sure.
All right, I think we reached the end of this podcast. I don't know if the audience have any questions to us. If not, we will be holding a longer 20 minutes break because I somehow need to pull Francis on this place because he's still MIA.
Oh, that's right. He's up next.
Bit Dragons and Unicorn, what is this? Where is the question? Oh, let me check. Which is the URL for what? Oh, if you want to know, actually, this one is Sans Ledger. They run a really interesting ledger for children who wants to learn how to save money. You guys have you guys seen Sans Ledger, actually? Or you're just now hearing it here first in your life?
No, I've never heard of it.
Me neither.
Okay, well, I will be posting the link later, so you guys can check it out later. It's pretty cool. How about Shemery? Have you guys seen that or not?
Yeah, I got a deck last weekend. I haven't opened it up, but
oh, yeah.
It looks cool. I'll try to play around with it.
Okay, I think we're going to take a break here now. I'm going to somehow find where the hell is Francis. And then we got to get started with his part of the presentation in 19 minutes. So this is a bit longer break because I think we deserve a 90-minute break. So everybody hang in there. We coming back in 18 minutes. So that was the Bitcoin Rehab podcast for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it and will be tuning in for more. You can check out Bitcoin Rehab at Bitcoin Rehab on Twitter. Just feel free to follow. More things will come, more interesting stuff, so you guys can check out. And don't forget to take the orange pill every day. Signing off.